Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, over the rainbow, gotta let it go.
So far, rain is a call.
Welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for April 2nd, 2024. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find our show on the Voices of Wrestling podcast feed or on the Open the Voice Gate podcast feed on all podcast platforms and applications. You can follow us on Twitter X at Open Voice Gate. If you want to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the red box as a sponsor of this podcast, and you can set up a one-time or recurring donation, no obligation whatsoever, but we would like to thank all of our previous donors. I'm one of your hosts. It's your old pal, Mike Spears, joining alongside, as always, Case Lowe. And Case, we're doing a special kind of episodes this week. It's a two-episode week, and that is because this is a special time of year, and it's a time of year that I feel like in the history of Open the Voice Gate, we have yet to be able to really talk about this. Dragon Gate's at WrestleMania, Case.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but this is the first time they've been at Mania Weekend in a decade.
More than a decade, 2013.
Oh my God, I didn't mean to set you up like that, but you're exactly right. The last Dragon Gate USA show was 10 years ago, WrestleMania Weekend this year. The last time there were Dragon Gate guys at WrestleMania Weekend was 11 years ago.
Yeah, it's just the wild thing that happens, and it's one of those things that, like, I feel like there's been so many starts and stops with Dragon Gate and this weekend in particular since 2019 that in a lot of ways, the fact that Dragon Gate makes their return after 11 years, it feels like it's a big deal, and more we kind of get into it, and we're going to talk a lot about Dragon Gate and WrestleMania weekend in this episode. But initial takeaways before we start talking about history, Dragon Gate returning, it feels like that there's a lot of big stuff happening for them this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you're listening to this podcast outside of a select few people that would have been dialed into Toriumon or, you know, maybe 2005 Dragon Gate right after the Toriumon split, you likely associate, at least the English-speaking world associates Dragon Gate with WrestleMania weekend, and specifically with WrestleMania weekend 2006, with the infamous Blood Generation versus Doofixer match. I would say Dragon Gate, in terms of their Western expansion, which was, again, more prevalent 10 years ago, 15 years ago than it is now, they're chasing that feeling. They're chasing that magic that at that point in time, you know, this style of wrestling really took hold. And I wrote extensively for the 15-year anniversary of Blood Generation versus Doomfixer on voiceofwrestling.com, all about the impact and influence of that match and how going into it, you know, Shima and Shingo had worked in Ring of Honor before, but it was one stop and the matches were just okay. And then Gabe Sapolsky, the Ring of Honor booker at the time, brought six Dragon Gate guys to America for a Ring of Honor triple shot, the show in Detroit, and then the two in Chicago Ridge, Illinois. And Gabe, you know, credit to him on a weekend with Lance Storm returning to wrestling and the almost hour-long Brian Danielson Roderick Strong match and some ROH versus CZW stuff, Gabe really carved out time for Dragon Gate to shine. And they not only shined on Supercard of Honor, but they shined so bright that they won Wrestling Observer Newsletter Match of the Year in 2006. It was a five-star match. And, you know, just to briefly talk about that, I mean, Gabe changed his booking philosophies based off of Blood Generation versus Doomfixer. And he wanted Ring of Honor at that point to mirror what Dragon Gate was, which, for lack of a better term, although it has certainly been tainted 15 years later, was faction warfare. Now, the advantage that Blood Generation versus Doomfixer had that, unfortunately, despite some of the really strong lineups this weekend that Dragon Gate doesn't have anymore, is that, and I feel confident saying this, a large portion of the wrestling world has copied Dragon Gate and took what they saw in Blood Generation versus Doomfixer and are now doing their own version of it. And so the greatest enemy towards Western expansion in Dragon Gate is simply that everybody is trying to do Dragon Gate.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, Case, I don't know when this is going up, so I don't want to completely like spoil it. I did some writing about 33106 myself this year, and I, because it's something that I feel like the two of us, it, for lack of better terms, we've inhabited this match, if not for the last 5 years of us doing this show together, ever since watching it, it is a match that sticks with you. It is a ghost that never leaves your side. But it is something that's worth saying, and kind of part of the thing when I was talking with Kevin about doing this match is like, I feel like I've written and have like rewritten and have talked about this match so much over the years that it's so hard to talk about it. And this time what I started to look at, Case, was the idea of what WrestleMania weekend was before 33106 and then what it was after, because it's not just Gabe completely re-engineering his booking philosophy. This match, because there was WrestleMania stuff happening in 2004-2005, it was not a completely new concept doing a match like this, but this was the match that showed that you can go to WWE's biggest week in the year, the wrestling's biggest show of the year, and at least within like a certain sect of wrestling fans, claim the weekend for yourself. And that's what everyone's been doing 18 years since then.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I mean, I really miss it, just the event that WrestleMania weekend used to be. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons that doesn't exist anymore. But there was a point in time, and I thought Gabe, by way of the success of Blood Generation versus Doomfixer and to some degree Danielson versus Lance Storm, the success of that 2006 weekend, I mean, Gabe saw through the pandemic, really, when he stopped running, you know, your biggest stories need to conclude WrestleMania weekend. That's when the most eyes are on it. And 2006, 2007, 2008, it was Dragon Gate's weekend. You know, they stole the show in 2006. In 2007, they built the entire Ring of Honor WrestleMania weekend around the Dragon Gate guys coming back. And then in 2008, you obviously had the rematch of Nigel McGuinness versus Austin Aries. You had some big Tyler Black and Jimmy Jacobs Age of the Fall stuff. But you also
that
had
that match completely. Oh, you can see a young Mike Spears in that match.
Yes.
That weekend was enough for me 2 years in to say, like, I want to go to WrestleMania weekend to see the Ring of Honor shows because Dragon Gate guys are there.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, they have the six-man tag that year, which I've always said from an in-ring standpoint, the 2008 match is actually better than the 2006 match.
Typhoon versus Muscle Outlaws. Everyone knows the names.
It was the same six guys as the 2006 match, but Genki was a heel and Shima was a babyface now. And I've always said that was the better in-ring match. It's just that 2006 has one of those one in a million crowds. And the 2006 match has one of those special factors that, you know, it's like 6'3", 94, and 6995 and 3103, 33106. It's one of those matches that you just know by date, and that means it's truly in the upper echelon of professional wrestling. When you say 33106, I think everybody at this point knows Blood Generation versus Doofixer. So, you know, Ring of Honor, while Gabe was booking, turned their Mania Weekend business, which was their biggest business, into the Dragon Gate show. Gabe gets let go from Ring of Honor at the end of 2008. He doesn't run anything in 2009, but Dragon Gate USA starts up in the summer of 2009, July 25th, 2009. By 2010, they are back running Mania Weekend. We talked extensively about this 4 years ago when we did the Dragon Gate USA Rewind and Rewatch series, but, you know, Mania Weekend was so important at that point to the business of indie wrestling, and Ring of Honor was primarily the only company running. You know, 2006 IWA Mid-South also ran because it was their backyard, but 2010 is the first time there's competition in the marketplace, and that led to the Davey Richards drama over who had the right to use Davey WrestleMania Weekend. Ring of Honor won that battle, and it drastically changed the future of Dragon Gate USA.
Yeah, so in 2010, I believe that was the six-man tag they put the Young Bucks in, right? Like right
on Ultimate Gate, yes. But, you know, they would do, some years they would do 2 6-man tags. The big hyped one was always on the Mercury Rising show. And right. The first incarnation of that, Mercury Rising 2010, it was World 1, Hulk, Yoshino, and Doi versus Warriors, Shima, Dragon Kid, and Gamma. Underrated in the grand scheme of things, because that match is actually very good.
Yeah, Gamma becoming the mayor of Phoenix. Like that, I remember, like, as soon as you said Warriors, I was like, oh yeah, this is the weekend that Gamma inexplicably gets taken over for WrestleMania weekend, and he gets over.
Yeah, that is a very underrated match. The non-underrated matches are the Jack Evans and Jimmy Jacobs versus Brian Kendrick and Paul London, and John Moxley versus Tommy Dreamer matches on that show.
The angriest that Case has ever been on a podcast.
Well, I just wish Tommy Dreamer would fuck off. It would just make my life better if I never saw him or his fat ass again. I fucking hate him.
I mean, it was a wild time. And it's something that when you talk about the differences between Dragon Gate in 2005 through 2008 with the Ring of Honor kind of like having that be the gear towards WrestleMania week, and into the fact that then in 2010 you have a Dragon Gate proper quotation marks show, and you start to see, I think by the time that you're able to, that first WrestleMania weekend in Phoenix, Dragon Gate USA, the bloom is not completely off the rose, but by the time they get back around in 2011 in Atlanta, you see how it's the growing pains of making a promotion based like this, to where you then really, everything then becomes like Austin Aries last weekend in wrestling, and then Akira Tozawa turning and doing a big match with Yamato right after doing the big match with Pac the night before, but the six-man tag match, in a lot of ways, in 2011, I would say, kind of takes a back seat, because by that time, it's the heart of the DGUSA growing pain.
Well, yeah, I mean, at that point, the six-man had lost some focus, but you still see it was Gabe going, okay, you know, this is my biggest weekend. I need the biggest thing possible. And that was, you know, partially the rise of Akira Tozawa in 2011, and partially what looked like the retirement of Austin Aries. The 2011 main event, to go to your point, is Shima, Naruki Doi, and Ricochet versus Ronan, Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano, and Rich Swann, which, for those that might not know or might not remember, that was the English-speaking American faction that was introduced to Dragon Gate USA to get them some homegrown stars.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, and I would say that at this point there was a real departure, because at least 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2010, there was some coherence with what was happening natively in Japan. Ronin weren't really a thing in Japan, like, and especially like after this time, this was right after the earthquake, and their big tour where they're supposed to take over kind of fell flat. So instead of doing Blood Warriors versus Junction 3, which would have been the appropriate feud at the time, they were opting into this instead.
You know, that's a great point. 2006 is Blood Generation versus Doofixer. it's pretty canonical with what's happening in Japan. 2007 is Shima, Shingo, and Susumu versus Dragon Kid, Masaki Mochizuki, and Ryo Saito, which wasn't exactly there. You know, there weren't units in place that made sense with what was happening in Japan, but it also didn't feel out of place. And then 2008 was Typhoon and Muscle Outlaws. 2010 is very much like, hey, this is what's happening in Japan still. This makes sense. 2011, it's the Dragon USA version of that, but at least it's canonical. And then 2012 and 2013, this is where Dragon Gate USA went from like the special feature promotion that had a vision to Gabe would tell stories for most of the year, and then WrestleMania weekend he would do Gabe Sapolsky dream matches. Now it worked out in our favor in 2012 because the six-man tag was low-key Akira Tozawa and BB Hulk versus Masaki Mochizuki, Pac, and Ricochet, which this match is on YouTube. Go watch it. It is the single most underrated match of Dragon Gate USA's run, and one of the best indie wrestling matches I feel like I've ever seen, even if it doesn't totally count because you had, you know, obviously top of the line guys in Japan at this point, plus Loki. But it's an incredible match, but it feels divorced from what was Dragon Gate at the time.
Yeah, it's completely at this point Dragon Gate USA. The remainder of the card, you had Johnny Gargano still being a babyface as a Freedom Gate champion, failing in Japan whenever he has appeared in Dragon Gate, just does not work there. But at that time, you're already dealing deep with the scene, DUF, Sabu having an 18-minute death match, of which I immediately walked out and went to the bar at
Shockingly bad.
Yeah, shockingly bad there. But you still had the fact that this was the show that was kind of the launch of WrestleCon that happened, because this was the first WrestleMania weekend that really had an add-on convention aspect. Like, there was like access things, and there were a couple signings that of course happened in the lead up to this point. But 2012, and I think that this kind of gets forgotten because what happened in 2013 in Secaucus with WWE trying to shut things down, that has first really started to happen in 2012, the year before that in Miami Beach.
You're exactly right. And then 2013, you know, Dragon Gate USA drew their biggest crowds ever. That weekend, oddly enough, is not known for their six-man. It's known for the Open the Ultimate Gate show with Shingo Takagi returning versus Johnny Gargano. And then the next night, the six-man doesn't even headline. The main event is Shingo versus Tozawa. The six-man that year was Johnny Gargano, Rich Swann, and Ricochet versus Shima, Eita, and the man we now know as T-Hawk. At the time, he was Tomahawk TT. I don't even remember why Swann and Ricochet and Gargano were teaming. Like, I can't remember what Gabe logic was used to pit those guys all on the same team. So yeah, that is really like the lost six man.
Yeah, and it's a lot of different things. You had Gargano doing that big heel turn the night before, and it not entirely being solidified. Him and Rich Swann were still aligned in 2013. Chuck Taylor had already gone heel and done the Kentucky Gentleman stuff. Like, he's already completely off the deep end there. Ricochet is the one that I don't remember. I think this was Gargano agrees to he agrees to give Ricochet a future Freedom Gate match, I think, is the reason why he's on that team.
God, what a headache.
But the fun thing about it is not that team. The fun thing is this is Shima and Eita and T-Hawk right in the midst of, like, their excursion, I feel like, is the cursed one. Like, even more so than the one that happened in 2022 and 2023. Just, like, it's just, like, the vibe about it at the time, the vibe about it coming back and all this. Like, you see T-Hawk basically wearing MMA board shorts and like a tank top in this match, if I remember right.
But
also on the other hand, Sliding Doors, this would have been in the next string universe, the leading group of Strong Hearts, if things broke a different way.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And so that is, you know, the last time that Dragon Gate was seen WrestleMania weekend. 2014, Dragon Gate USA wraps up the run. Real quick, for those that might not know the story, yes, Dragon Gate USA ran. No, they did not have Dragon Gate talent. It was a mix of some visa issues for their more established stars, and then a list of names were offered from the Japan office to Gabe, some undercard at the time wrestlers, some preliminary fucking wrestlers, to steal a phrase. And Gabe checked with people that knew Dragon Gate better than he did, And they declined the offer to send those guys over, which was very disappointing. So like that year, you know, it was AR Fox and Rich Swann and Ricochet versus Chris Hero, Masato Tanaka, and Roderick Strong. They did a six-man tournament that concluded with Anthony Nese, Caleb Comley, and Trent Beretta of the Premier Athlete brand beating AR Fox, Rich Swann, and Ricochet, and Fire Ant, Green Ant, and Lince Dorado. So, yeah, very disappointing there. Went out with a whimper. And then things only got worse because 5 years later, WrestleCon attempted to bring Dragon Gate guys over.
Mm-hmm.
And another visa issue made that a real problem.
Yeah, so 2019 in New York City, it felt like a lot of ways WrestleCon, more so than anyone else, pegged their weekend to get Dragon Gate guys in with like this influx of people from what soon would be AEW, a lot of Mexican wrestlers, a lot of luchadors were getting up there, like Black Taurus was a part of it. And this was the time, though, that due to, we don't get very political on Open the Voice Gate, but the Trump administration basically said no more visas. And that happened at such an extent that we kind of, in a weird way, see it kind of playing out for High Spots WrestleCon this year with Volador Jr. in a way. But it is something that Dragon Gate guys weren't able to get the visas. And it was kind of decided, I would say, like, it was about like a week and a half out that they pulled everyone's name. But the more notable thing was, Case, only one other company was going to book a Dragon Gate guy in 2019. Do you remember what company that was?
I do. It was Black Label Pro, who I've never said anything nice about, but I did appreciate that they at least tried.
Yep, they were going to bring in Masato Yoshino in on his retirement, Ron.
Yes. So it's right. I kind of forgot about that. That was the big controversy at the time, was that High
Yoshino
Spots
was there.
Yeah. So Black Label Pro was going to do Yoshino versus Gresham, which was a cool match, even if I'm down on Gresham compared to most, but I was still into that. But that was the thing where I believe the names coming over, it was
Yamato, Susumu, Dragon Kid, Yoshino, Shimizu,
And Ben.
No,
I feel Skywalker. Like it might have been Shun instead of Dragon Kid, but I could be wrong.
I don't think that Shun was going to come over then. I think that Shun.
No, you're right. Shun was supposed to be doing MLW stuff in 2020 before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. Okay. So that was kind of the conversation at the time, was the Dragon Gate guys were supposed to work the WrestleCon Super Show, and in the release saying that the Dragon Gate guys wouldn't be there, they announced that they were going to do Pac and Ben K and Shimizu against an unannounced trio. And then we had Yoshino versus Gresham, but I don't remember any other matches that were booked with the Dragon Gate guys.
What were
the other ones?
So there was a USA versus the World Show. They booked Susumu Yokosuka versus what's his name? I'm blanking on his name. It's Max. What's his name?
Maxwell Chicago?
No. Guy. The guy that's speaking out was all based around originally David Starr. It was going to be Susumu versus David Starr. Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, that was like the headline like match that they were announcing for that show.
God, that's funny. I don't remember that. But, you know, the point is, you know, High Spots, I searched David Starr Susumu on Twitter and your tweet comes up first.
that's very funny. I don't know how I feel about that, man.
Okay, so they were going to do David Starr versus Susumu and Masato Yoshino versus Rich Swann on that show. Very funny in hindsight. But Dragon Gate guys weren't getting booked, and that was really, I think, when we started having that conversation. We weren't the first ones to have it, but we really hammered it home of like, oh, the indies is, it's not tape traders now. You know, it's guys that are watching Attitude Era Raw, and they want to do that at their local community center. But like the super indie scene by that point has started to become depleted, and the people that were left either didn't have the money to book Dragon Gate outside of WrestleMania weekend, but then the people that were at WrestleMania weekend, you know, all due respect to John Thorne and AIW, you know, they run a fine business in Cleveland, but John Thorne doesn't know anything about Dragon Gate, and the Black Label Pro guys only booked Yoshino because he was the biggest name of the bunch at the time. And it was just, it was very clear that indie promoters outside of High Spots, who always do a good job and always do their homework to some degree, that they were out of their depth. And so it was going to be a very awkward weekend where it didn't feel like Dragon Gate had the spotlight that maybe they should have, just because people didn't know how to book those guys. I mean, people were coming to me going, hey, if I book so-and-so, who should I have him wrestle? Now, that's not unusual. That happens normally anytime a Dragon Gate guy gets a booking in America. But it was people more so like with their hands up going like, I feel pressure to book these guys, but I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're good at. I don't know who to put them up against. And so I almost want to say it was a blessing in disguise that 2019 never really happened.
Yeah, in some ways, I mean, at that point, you had like peak GCW happening, and like they had like their whole thing happening in New Jersey. And then WrestleCon, in the way I feel like, came through looking like you bring in the Dragon Gate guys, and they were going to find places for the Dragon Gate guys throughout the shows. But it was something where everything else just was not in the right place in the right time. And then you fast forward, and it is something where I think we have hit a point where it's not that, like, what would you say like the big difference in the indie scene is in the last 5 years, Case? Because I don't think the indie scene really has changed a whole lot, other than the fact that GCW is off its zenith, and it's not necessarily the one that everyone is looking towards to dictating the conversation anymore.
Well, I think the biggest difference is that people watched the indies 5 years ago, and by that point, it had become Game Changer and Black Label Pro and Effie's Big Gay Brunch and things that I wouldn't watch with a gun to my head. But there was an actual interest and in somewhat of a fervor around those shows. Whereas now, I think, you know, comparing the indie scene in 2019 pre-pandemic to where it's at now, I think the talent level is very similar, but I think the luster of, oh my God, I'm watching indie wrestling, is just not there anymore.
Yeah, like, I feel like in a way I would compare this to. So I was in New York in 2019 wanting to go see the Dragon Gate guys. I went in 2018 to New Orleans because there was a lot of friends there, and it was really like at a time of that.
Yeah, 2016, 2017, 2018 were like, you can go to whatever city Mania's in and just watch whatever Gabe's doing, whatever ROH is doing, whatever High Spots are doing.
All three of those together, you would have a great time.
Exactly. It was the years where it felt like the focus, at least in our bubble, was off Mania itself more than ever. I mean, 2016 is one of the best weekends of wrestling to ever exist, you know, but those years it felt like Mania weekend was a really special entity. And by 2019, you had seen a decrease in whatever it was.
And a lot of that, I think, is that more and more shows kind of just inflated the weekends. And it was something where, with WrestleMania kind of traveling around, when you land in 2019, you're in New York City, where there's going to be more wrestling shows happening just because of population density and all of that. That's just how math works. Like, you got to a certain point where it just, you're looking around. And I remember 2019 going to House of Glory and seeing Kai there and being like, Kai there and Tri Vanguard. And I was there for Kai. I was cheering for Kai. And the look he gave me was a look of utter disappointment of, why do you know who I am? Please act like you don't know me. I'm here because Muto asked me to be here, kind of energy.
That's right. I was trying to remember who Kai was with, and it was of course Muto, not Ultimo.
But like, yeah, you had like such inflation to a degree that like when you landed in those spots, like I don't feel like Los Angeles was that way. And when WrestleMania was back through Texas, that was still rebuilding from COVID. Like, this, not everyone was really running, and not everyone was fully like coming in internationally at that time. Whereas now you're in Philadelphia, and like, my God, everyone's flying in for this. And I'm wondering, like, at a certain point, where is the cost risk analysis of being a wrestler flying yourself into WrestleMania weekend with all the shows that are happening in the greater tri-state area?
I was just thinking yesterday, as I was kind of prepping some stuff for this podcast, like, pandemic behavior is very funny because I think America, for some reason, has like greatly undervalued how severe the pandemic was. Not to, again, take a political stance, but like, there are some people that like brush it off now as like, it was whatever. Like, we were all so crazy. I was like, no, it was actually very scary for 2 full years. I think back to Mania Weekend 2021, watching those Game Changer shows in a parking lot in Florida and being invested in some of those shows. And that is probably the single weirdest thing that I did during the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I can look at my content creation over the years, Gaze, and point out a lot of moments tagged to WrestleMania Weekend that I maybe have regretted throughout the years. But like, it was something where, you know, what was the show that really kind of was like, what are we doing here? What was that kind of moment for me? It was the Violence and Suffering show that had Julia Smokes on commentary.
Oh, yeah, a famous disaster.
Yeah, like that was when we were getting real like Harmony Korine style pro wrestling. Like, that was real Spring Break Forever hours. Like, actually, like that kind of vibe, like ATLN vibe.
Yeah, no, I remember like watching like Lee Moriarty do grappling in a hot parking lot and going like, oh man, this kid really has something. And it's like, there's like 40 people in attendance. I'm watching pro wrestling taking place at 11 a.m. and we're just going like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I think that is the sort of stuff that does not hold up great of like Lee Moriarty and Jordan Oliver wrestling at the Cuban Club in Ybor City, and I'm spending time watching this. It's just like, oh god, what am I doing with my life?
Moxley coming in, and that was like the big moment. And like, now 3 years later, going, John Moxley, you are like probably like the closest thing we have to a modern Terry Funk, but I'm still going like, man, like, you're too good for that. You were too good for that thing. Because like, you think about that, and like, what, like that was like right after the Explosion match, and like this was like right before like Mox did like the real ace run, I feel like, in AEW. And he's in there like getting face to face with Nick Gage after he defeated Ricky Shane Page. Became too much of a facet of our lives at that time.
4-4-0. Trust me, not mine. I wasn't watching. So, Ricky Shane Page comes on the screen. I'm going, well, I got 15 minutes to not watch this.
Time to figure out lunch.
And that really takes us to this year, where Drangate returns. They've got 6 wrestlers coming over. They're booked on a bunch of shows. And Mike, I'll hand the reins over to you now.
Yeah, so it's the Drangate 6, as we know, it's Shun Skywalker, Benkei, Kota, Minoru, KZ, Dragon Kid, and Yamato. Along with, we will see Ultimo Dragon and La Estrella. Texas-based La Estrella is going to be on the weekend as well. But the interesting thing about this case is, so WrestleMania weekend sadly has already started because people are running shows locally, and it's going to go all the way basically for the next few days. But we're going to take you to Thursday, August 4th, Defy Wrestling, the pride of the Pacific Northwest, with their Can't Deny It show. This is I will be careful to identify what platform, what grouping it is. This is a Triller TV airing, so I think this is free on Triller Plus. But on this show, we have a Trios 3-way match. A sovereign team of Evan Rivers, Judas Icarus, and Travis Williams versus C4XKC, Cody Chud, Guillermo Rojas, and KC Navarro versus Dragon Gate, Shun Skywalker, Benkei, and Ho-Ho Lun.
I find this show to be very entertaining. Defy is one of those groups that I trust them with Dragon Gate guys. Whereas there are some where I'm a little nervous as to how they're handled. Of course, the pairing of Shun, Ben, and Ho-Ho is very random. I don't totally understand that. But I do like that they're doing the 3-way trios match.
Yeah, it's something where Ho-Ho, I guess that makes 9 kind of Dragon Gate affiliated guys over on the weekend. He's getting in on this one. I like Cody Chun a lot. Like, whenever I've like seen him, like I think that this is an interesting thing. This show also has Moonlight Express versus Brooks and Kid Lykos.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks.
We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio, and then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Lino Del Mall, if we want to talk greater dragon system, he's in the BMF Battle Royal versus Chef, Luke Jacobs, and Gene Money there. So that's the first Dragon Gate show with participation. There's a bunch of stuff that has been canceled that Dragon Gate was announced for in the meantime, including a Rex Fest show that I think has turned into like a Dragon Gate that they're still doing this Yamato versus Joel Maximo and PJ Savage match, but they've now turned this into like an exhibition thing that's happening Thursday. But then we turn our attention for Dragon Gate. The next time that they have a appearance on Thursday is the WrestleCon Trooper Show and the 10-man tag Team CMLL, Místico, Averno, Barbero, Cavanario, Villano 3 Jr. and Star Jr. versus Team Dragon Gate, Dragon Kid, Shun Skywalker, Kota Minora, Benkei, and Yamato.
Yeah, this is the big one. You know, I spoke to somebody who helped put this match together who was very, very excited about the fact that it came out the way that they wanted to. I don't know if it was the CMLL guys were the ones that they wanted initially, but they got five CMLL guys and they got five Dragon Gate guys, and I know they were really excited about that. The benefit that this match has is that it is not only, I would say, a front runner to be the best match of the weekend, but this is not a great looking show. You know, it's Rob Van Dam versus Mike Bailey, which I think is kind of fun for those in attendance, but won't be a great match. Masato Tanaka versus Josh Alexander will rule. I am into that. But then it's Joey Janela versus Nick Nemeth, and there's a Sammy Callahan street fight. And
versus Paul Walter Hauser, by the way.
Who I don't think I know who that is.
You know who Paul Walter Hauser is. He was the guy who had the Golden Globe get stolen by Jeff Jarrett on AEW television.
Oh, yes, that classic angle. I definitely remember that.
And now you know who he is. He was in Richard Jewell. He was Richard Jewell.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I like basically describing him in the most oblique terms possible.
Yeah, so that's going to be awful. And then you've got like a full-blooded Italians match. So, look, Tanaka versus Alexander is the competition there. But this could not only B-Match the weekend. It's on a show that's going to get a lot of eyeballs, and it could very easily be the standout on this show. So they've got that working in their favor. To me, this is the best thing they've got going on. There's really almost no history of Dragon Gate interacting with CMLL outside of Dragon Kid's debut match in November of 1997, where the original Torimon class worked a CMLL show in Arena Mexico as a favored Ultimo Dragon. And then in 2003... when Ultimo and Shima and Suwa and Don Fuji worked a Cibernetico match for CMLL. Other than that, it's two companies that have never really interacted with one another. So to get Místico in the ring with Shun Skywalker, among others, is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, like I feel Místico, when he would come over to Mexico early in his career, that wasn't Dragon Door. Like, I don't think he came over.
No. He missed his flight for the first Dragon Door show.
Oh, that's right. Then I think the best like link here is the fact that Ultimo used to rent out Arena Mexico for the Dragon Mania shows. And I know that Averno and Místico have done a Dragon Mania.
And that would have been before Ultimo Dragon came back to Dragon Gate. So you're talking about, you know, Toriumon X guys and All Japan guys, you know, but not Dragon Gate guys specifically.
Yeah, this was the one that had Hajime Ohara as like a new Dark Dragon character.
Yes.
Yeah, not a great time for there. And then from at that point, we fast forward to Jersey Championship Wrestling, JCW and GCW versus the world. Los Desperados, formerly of AAA, Ares and Latigo, teaming with their partner Gringo Loco versus the Team Dragon Gate team of Yamato, Dragon Kid, and Shun Skywalker.
I get the feeling that Gringo Loco is very excited for this, which is nice. Again, I'm a little bothered, and it's my problem, and it's not going to ruin my enjoyment of the matches, but I wish Shun had somebody else to team with that was a heel, just because they're doing, you know, Shun teaming with all these baby faces, and I don't love that. But look, this match could be awesome, assuming they're not totally exhausted from the CMLL match earlier in the day.
Yeah, it's the I guess the big looming issue about this is you have the Shun Skywalker problem, that really the heel side, like, they're not sending over Kai. I don't think Kai actually has a visa from Dragon Gate. I never heard him being listed in the visa lists, so you can bring him over.
I think he might have been an MLW guy.
Yeah,
that was supposed to come over during the pandemic. And for those that don't know, Kai, who was Muto's student, who was like the failed Wrestle One champion, Kai has been in Dragon Gate now for, it'll be 6 years in August. He's a contracted Dragon Gate wrestler. That's his full-time promotion. And he is awesome in Dragon Gate. And I understand if you maybe are a lapsed fan and you know of Kai and you think like, ugh, that sounds bad. No, Kai is great in Dragon Gate, but that's a moot point because he's not working this weekend.
Yeah, so like you have this issue that really was not always the case in the Ring of Honor days and the DGUSA days, never was the case. The fact of what to do with Shun Skywalker, certain places like the 10-man tag, you're putting forth your best lineups there. I mean, Bob Anario is not teaming with Mystico most weeks. Averno is Mystico's career rival, and he's teaming with that. That makes sense for the 10-man tag. It kind of hurts here for the GCW and GCW show. Ho-Ho was announced for this show. Would not be surprised maybe to see Benkei here.
This would be, I feel like, the show that Benkei would get over on, but I also... Right. It's like, it's weird. I was talking to somebody about this today. Somebody who I would say is intimately familiar with 2018, 2019, 2020 Dragon Gate, but not 2024 Dragon Gate. And I had to explain to them, like, hey, Benkei is not who he was 4 years ago. He's like a charisma machine, basically like John Cena, Doctor of Thugonomics type guy now, not this stoic Japanese warrior that you knew him as. So I think this is an example of, I don't think these promoters realize Benkei is who he is.
Yeah, and that's like the shame, because really for new listeners and people who aren't familiar with Benkei, he is this guy who for essentially his entire career up until 18 months ago, never really shown any charisma, but suddenly he just really got legitimately into YouTube battle rap and kind of based a character around it and became at one point the most popular guy in the country, in the company, and someone that I think, as we both have said on previous programs, the person that I think you go send anywhere in the world and he's going to get over is Dragon Kid, but right behind him is Benkei in this character.
Yeah, Ben's doing that the British Kingdom Pro shows at the end of April. Unfortunately, he's wrestling Brian Kendrick, but Ben, I think, in that environment is going to get crazy over, and if the American audience gives him a chance, he could be the real winner out of the Dragon Gate side this weekend.
Yeah, charisma for days. It's something that translates across language gaps. I mean, like, when he did the West Coast Pro show last year against Brian Keith, remember talking to people, it's like, oh yeah, no, everyone, if you knew who Benkei was, he was taken by you and you had like the time of your life, like talking to him for like those like 2 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we go through the rest of the weekend, we kind of reach this little bit of a dead period until we go to Joey Janela's spring break on April 5th. Very much, I would say, the heir to what we would consider WrestleMania weekend was kind of inherited by Joey Janela's spring break in Orlando in 2017. We now have the current version of Joey Janela's spring break. This one is Spring Break 8. And on this show, we have they are billing it straight up as this Dragon Gate six-man tradition, Dragon Gate Classic Yamato, Dragon Kid and KZ versus Reiwa New Generation, Shun Skywalker, Benkei, and Kota Minora. And on a show that has a whole lot of stuff happening, this is, you know, the work rate match that they have out there.
Yeah, look, I'm thrilled this match is happening. This is canonical. This makes sense within the context of Dragon Gate. I worry, and look, I've disrespected Joey Janela in my day. I mean this as no disrespect to Joey Janela. I'm a little worried that this specific crowd is just not going to give a shit. It's one or the other. They're either going to be so into this and we have a chance for a really special moment with Dragon Gate coming back to America, or they are just not going to care at all. And I'm very concerned it's going to be that they're not going to care at all. But look, it's an awesome match. It makes sense within the context of the story that's going on in Japan right now. And, you know, I'm thrilled this is the match that's happening. So credit to Joey Janela for getting this match together.
Yeah, for those who do not know, who might be a little concerned, because we said Shun Skywalker is a heel, how are you teaming with him? And then Benkei, the most popular guy in the company at one time. For people who may have dipped out in Dragon Gate, last year they declared the six people of which the current and future generations of Dragon Gate will be focused around, in the way in the past they had groupings that had Yamato, Shingo Takagi, Akira Tozawa, Naruki Doi. Now our group now consists of Shun Skywalker, Benkei, and Kota Minora. They have teamed as this group before, even though Shun is the biggest heel in the company and Benkei is one of the most beloved people. It is still canonical, but it is something where I think when we talk about the evolution of WrestleMania weekend, doing this kind of match, okay, I'll just ask you this straight up, Case. Which show should have the canonical Dragon Gate six-man match of this weekend?
Well, for my interest, it would be the WrestleCon Super Show, but in terms of eyeballs, I would think Spring Break is probably the biggest thing there is. So I'm going to say this show. I'm just so frustrated that it's on a show that has an I Quit match with Effie and Mance Warner and Matt Cardona versus Blue Kane, and I don't know what a Blue Kane is.
Oh, it's a British wrestling thing. They had a joke of a Blue Kane, and it stopped being funny a year ago.
Okay, that sounds terrible. Maki Ito and Immobile Nick Cage versus Danhausen and somebody else I've never heard of.
Oh, Chairman Ram.
Who was that?
You know who Chairman Ram is? She was the kid who used to have the face paint doing the wrestling with Onryo 666. Now she's a full-time Joshi.
She
works Stardom and DDT as a freelancer. She's like one of the few people who's been able to kind of consistently ride that wave.
More power to her for navigating that political landscape. But, you know, look, Spring Break, the show largely looks awful, but I'm very excited for this match. And if you're going to do it, I think this is the spot with the most eyeballs. So more power to them.
Yeah, it's just one of the things that, like, there is the part of me that's like, oh, there is the better place where this match could have gone, which is one of those things that's like, what, you can't do this at a blood sport. Like, it does not make sense for that. So
no,
either
God, I wish Yamato or Ben were working blood sport.
I mean, Ben in blood sport, I mean, and not, I mean, he was a collegiate wrestler of a level of renown. Yeah.
I mean, that, look, I mean, I not to get too on my high horse, but that's kind of an example of like, look, I know Josh Barnett's a dummy. I know he doesn't know anything about Dragon Gate, which is a shame, because those are two guys with an amateur background that, I mean, I watched Yamato wrestle Fred Yehi 2 years ago in a grappling classic. I mean, it was, you know, a half blood sport, half traditional pro wrestling style of match. Those two would kill it there, but I, you know, nobody involved in blood sport has any idea they have that background.
No, that's entirely
and,
fair.
And look, for all I know, it might be a case of Dragon Gate not wanting those guys to do that kind of show, but I'm going to lean more towards they just don't know that they have a bunch of Dragon Gate wrestlers that have amateur backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. I kind of, in a way, when I'm looking down this weekend and like people missing something, that's not the big miss. The big miss is the fact that there is Super Card of Honor and they're filling out that card and Dragon Gate's there.
That's a great point. That's a really great point.
Like, I'm looking right now, at least I'm using the Voices of Wrestling post. I believe it's Griffin who does that, but it has all of these Ring of Honor title matches, like Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe, that's been built up great, Athena, Hikaru Shida, the women's TV title, Kyle Fletcher, Lee Johnson, Johnny TV versus Dalton Castle. They're doing a Stardom six-woman tag.
Hold on, I'm sorry. When will pro wrestling companies stop booking Morrison? I've been watching him on the indies for a decade. AAW in Chicago used to book him. I don't know if he's had a good match since he was wrestling Paul London and Brian Kendrick on SmackDown. He wasn't even good in Lucha Underground.
No, like, I was just thinking about if he had a good match in Lucha Underground, and I realized his all night long match against Prince Puma was god awful.
I'm sure he's a cool guy. You know, I'm sure people like hanging out with him. I've never understood the obsession with booking that guy less. I cannot understand it.
And it's not even a thing where, like, families, like, what kid, if you're a kid who remembers Eminem, that was 2006.
That was my childhood. Yes.
Yeah. Case, you can rent a car. Like,
I can.
You don't. Yeah. Like, that. Those are the people that you're trying to refer to, and that just does not work there. But that's not the last Dragon Gate appearance of the weekend. Our friends at Expect the Unexpected Wrestling doing a ETU versus Dragon Gate show. I planned like my WrestleMania weekend. I'm not going to be in town. I'm not going to really even have like much of like TV or internet for that weekend. I'm trying to like think of a way that I could tell my family, my fiance, that I kind of at 4 p.m. want to go spend some time by myself, because this ETU show, I'm really excited about this, guys. Unlock the Unexpected, ETU versus Dragon Gate. I believe this is an IWTV show. Yes, it is.
Good. You know, ETU, I was talking to somebody about them today. You got to remember 2 years ago, I mean, this feels like ancient history, where they brought in SB Kento and La Estrella as their first matches in America, and they treated it like a really big deal. So I don't know who is behind ETU, but they are doing a lot of the things that I wish the greater U.S. indie scene would do, because they, whether they're locked into Dragon Gate or not, I don't know, but when they have Dragon Gate guys work for them, they treat it like it's a big deal, and case in point, they built an entire show around them.
Yeah, it's something where I believe, and I apologize if I have this wrong, I believe it's The Struggles who does ICW No Holds Bar commentary and does some work there as the person behind this promotion. But it's something where that, at least as someone coming at this from a Dragon Gate perspective, there's been such a level of care that ETU has done towards their promotion and how they consider things. Like, they do kind of crib some Dragon Gate things. Like, their championship is called the Key to the East, and they do key matches. So like, they are cribbing the company a little bit there, but it's something that is done in a way that I feel like it's an homage to
it. No, good. Like, I wish more companies would do that.
And I think they've put together, at least singles match wise, some really well thought out singles matches for the Dragon Gate roster. I'm just going to, should we go match by match or just kind of go through the card and talk about the stuff we are?
No, we're run it down real quick. Run it down top to bottom.
All right. So the main event on the show, Marcus Mathers, who is the ETU Key to the East champion, is defending his title belt against Dragon Kid. I've seen Marcus Mathers a couple of times. I've been pretty impressed by him each time.
Good. I'm unfamiliar with his work, but I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, he is a Northeast guy. I think he does a lot of JCW and lower level GCW stuff, but it's something where getting the match with Dragon Kid, like, that is, it's the only singles match Dragon Kid's doing in America these days. So I think that's a big move, a big tell, at least from ETU, about the guy.
Yeah.
Our announced semi-main event case is, I know we talked about Team CMLL versus Team Dragon Gate, that 10-man tag as like the match of the weekend. Let's drop all pretensions, Case. How excited are you for Danny DeManto versus Ultimo Dragon?
Okay, I'm not excited about that match As a match itself, I do think it's worth noting, and I don't know how much of this, much like the Bloodsport thing where I tend to think it's people not knowing, but there's a chance that Dragon Gate didn't want their guys involved in a show like that. I think it's really important to note that Ultimo is in America, and the Dragon Gate stuff this weekend is not being booked through the lens of here's Ultimo Dragon and some of the other Japanese guys. It's the Dragon Gate guys that Ultimo's booked on this show. And I think that's a really positive sign, because there's a nightmare scenario where Ultimo has more matches than like Shun Skywalker, and luckily that didn't happen.
Yeah, this is Ultimo's only booked match that I see, at least using the Voices of Wrestling page.
Yes, so. Yeah, same here. It's the only one I've seen his graphic for.
But how many bumps, first and foremost, are we getting in this one, Ben?
Oh, over under 4.5, you tell me.
I am taking the under, because the second that Ultimo sees Danny, he's going to want to do two bumps and go out on the La Magistral.
Yeah, I'm gonna go under.
Yeah, no, but it's funny. Like, what if this match was like Danny DeManto nowadays, more known as like the deathmatch wrestler? Like, what if this was happening in ICW No Holds Bars within the chains?
I think it was 2021. That was the year I watched a lot of ICW No Holds Barred Mania Weekend. I actually got pretty into that gimmick for about 2 days.
There was like the one guy who came out to Darude by Sandstorm. That was like a real vibe.
Yeah, that was like, I had a friend who I would say is not somebody who watches a lot of indie wrestling, but for a few years there was pretty locked in on ICW, and he got very into that.
I like the fact that like this is the one part of independent wrestling that he knows. And
oh,
like,
yeah, he would watch like a Zack Sabre Jr. match. He's like, well, I don't care about this, but ICW, sign me up. This is awesome.
I mean, you have the hardcore legend Ron Neamey guiding your way through it.
Exactly. I mean, and I've seen this man tweet at Ron Neamey numerous times. Shout out Sean Sloan.
All right. So Miracle Generation, they are the IWTV Independent Wrestling Tag Team Champions. Dustin Waller, Kylan King going up against Gold Class, Benkei and Kota Minora. This is going to be the match where I feel like Benkei is really going to get his wild oats out.
Yeah, this could be a really fun one. I'm into him and Minora teaming with one another. We haven't really talked about Coach Minora. You know, he is very much Dragon Gate's fetch. Dragon Gate really wants him to be a thing. And depending on what day of the week you catch me, sometimes I'm all aboard Coach Minora's hype train, and I think he's the future. And some days he is a background player that is struggling to keep up. I don't know how he's going to do this weekend.
Yeah, he is much more for less experienced Dragon Gate people. A lot you think a lot more towards Shingo Takagi and Naruki Doi than you do Shima and Dragon Kid with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a thing where throughout the history of Dragon Gate in the United States, Shingo and Naruki Doi have worked, and they have worked quite well. I mean, if you go back to the Rewind and Rewatch series case, you'll hear me for I think maybe of upwards of a full elapsed hour throughout the 50 episodes, opine about a Naruki Doi traveling territorial champion. Kota Minora is just not that phase yet of his career. And it is something where him being in the Reiwa New Generation's Joey Janela Spring Break match, that is kind of where I see him to break out at. I don't see him breaking out in these other kind of contexts. I see him more so in the 6-man, 10-man context really succeeding this weekend.
And the thing is with Minora, just given how spotty he's been throughout his career, he might unlock something this weekend that none of us are ready for. You know, you can't really rule something like that out, but
because he's 25
in flaky, you know, in a company where you're not really allowed to be inconsistent, Minora is that. So, you know, you go down the line and, you know, Yamato's established. I'm not worried about him. Dragon Kid's established. He's going to do great. Shun Skywalker, I would put good money on him crushing it. I think Benkei, who is a massive fan of American wrestling, he's going to want to do well. KZ did very well when he was in Texas. I trust him. Minora is the real wild card here.
Yeah, he is the one that I think we look at and we go, we can see definitely the downside of him much more easily than someone like, talking about Shun Skywalker, he has Alec Price in the match. That's kind of given, like, I like Alec Price. He works a lot more as a heel. I think he's a lot more effective here. But if you're looking at someone for Shun Skywalker to kind of throw around and do gross stuff to, Alec Price is scrawny enough that it's going to look brutal, him doing like his moonsault double knees too.
Yeah, I like this match on paper. I've seen a little bit of Alec Price, and I thought this was one that made sense, one that I would have booked given the talent on the show. I like this pairing.
Yep, and then the next one, Yamato versus Mike Santana. This is I find this one kind of interesting, like for the two of us, the fact that I've seen more kind of outcry and more like anticipation for Santana versus Yamato than anything on this show, and I think that is like Santana now coming in after the AEW, after his time in AEW, now on the Indies and TNA, getting the match against, at least when you talk about the Dragon Gate lineup they're sending, Yamato is still very much, if you're someone who's like dipped out on Dragon Gate recently, Yamato, he's still the company ace. He still is Mr. Dragon Gate. And it's interesting that this is the singles match he gets is against Santana, someone who you would feel like is going to kind of be all for trying to get his name out there in the biggest way possible this week.
Yeah, I'm not a big Santana guy, but if he's neither ever gonna, if he's gonna ever win me over, it's probably gonna be in this match. So I'm coming in with noted expectations, let's say.
Yeah, yeah, and it's something where Yamato is someone that I think it's fair to say that certain styles and certain wrestlers, he'll go out there and he'll have like a 3-star Yamato match where things are just kind of there. But if you find the right person, your Fred Yehais in the world, the people who are willing to kind of scrap and dish it back to him, that's where you really unlock it with Yamato. And I don't think Mike Santana is that kind of.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
We have a 4-corner survival. Ho-Ho Loon, Braden Toon, who I'm not familiar with, Law Australia, and Yo-Ya.
Who, do you know who Yo-Ya is?
I've seen Yo-Ya a lot. If Yo-Ya is who I think it is, they are a really smaller wrestler. He, I think, is 5'2".
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do know who that is.
Yeah,
I,
from the Midwest.
Yeah, okay. Look, I'm excited Australia is getting some bookings. You know, for those that don't know, he's a Dragon Gate guy who was in the same dojo class roughly as Jackie Funky Kame and SB Kento and Madoka Kakuta and Sora Fuchikawa, who has since retired. He's in that group of guys. He debuted December of 2020, was shipped off to North America in May of 2022, and is sort of splitting time between living in Texas and living in Mexico. At last I heard, and I would imagine I'd get an update coming out of this weekend, but last I heard is that he really likes living in North America, and there's no immediate plans for him to return to Japan. So he is still affiliated with Dragon Gate. He's still considered to be a Dragon Gate wrestler, but we haven't seen him in Japan in a year. And unless something has changed, I don't think we're going to see him back in Japan other than maybe a yearly trip to renew his visa anytime soon.
Right, which would be coming up after this weekend.
Yes, because it was May of last year, because he worked that entire May tour.
Yeah, so it's something where this is his only booking he has.
Yeah, which is a bummer because, no bummer. You know, Australia is a very mixed bag. You know, for those that maybe haven't heard me say this on Voicescape before, you know, Australia also has, I don't know if he fully has like an accomplished amateur wrestling background, but he kind of came into Dragon Gate expecting to be a bit of a grappler. And the story that I always tell is there's somebody that knew Estrella as a green boy before he debuted, and then found out that Estrella was who he was after he had debuted as a high flyer that Ultimo Dragon had produced his debut. And this person was stunned because they knew Estrella, and they knew Estrella had no real interest in being a high flyer. That wasn't what his background was. So he struggled in Japan. There were times where he looked, you know, like the second coming of Jesus, and there were times where he just didn't look any good, quite frankly. But you look at the talent that's out there, whether it's Mania Weekend alone or just the U.S. indie scene as a whole, this is a guy that should be getting steady work. He is not a bad wrestler by any means. He is unfortunately in the company with, I think, the highest working standard out of anybody. And because of that, there were times where he was put out to pasture there, was out of his depth. And it's a bummer because he's a good worker, and I wish he would have more bookings this weekend.
Yeah, and he's kind of, I know we talk about this in a future episode, he's someone that's in the process of figuring it out, whereas someone like a Gravity case, was not given the opportunity to figure it out in AEW, because that's not what AEW is geared for. He just, in Dragon Gate, there, by the time that we were going to anticipate him kind of figuring it out and really see like him evolve, they shipped him off to Mexico at that point.
Yep.
So by and large, if he's figured it out, and I feel like he has in a lot of ways, like his tour that he came back for in May of 2023, at least for me, as if you're this is like your first voice gate, I am the more critical one on La Estrella historically. He just kind of, it's something where like I wish he would get more opportunities in this kind of weekend, for especially like I just did a name search for Estrella. You know what's the other thing he's scheduled to appear at, Case?
Oh, what's that?
A Battleground Championship Wrestling block party meet and greet.
Oh, that
he's scheduled to do that instead of WrestleCon with the other Dragon Gate.
Yeah, I don't. God, I love La Estrella. I wish I could go just to be able to talk his ear off, because I don't think the people that are lining up for photos with Bubba Ray Dudley are also lining up for photos with La Estrella.
Yeah, yeah. If you see
that, that's a bummer. I wish you wouldn't have told me that, because I didn't know that.
I'm sorry. I mean,
like is listed below that DDP yoga with Bobby Fish. I am into that.
Yeah. So let's kind of wrap up this episode talking about other WrestleMania stuff, weird stuff happening. Is DDP yoga, and that's happening multiple days. Like this is like a solid gig apparently for Bobby Fish.
Well, he's doing a Muay Thai class on Saturday.
Is he actually wrestling this week? Is Bobby Fish
think so.
Actually wrestling?
Which, by the way, is stupid. No, he's Bobby Fish might be an idiot, but he's a damn good pro wrestler.
All right. I have yet to see. He's doing a podcast. He's appearing at Spo Wrestling, and that's his only like wrestling booked appearance.
The Undisputed Podcast with Bobby Fish. I didn't know Bobby Fish had a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he absolutely does.
Like, what's the Stardom Cast? Because it's not, we don't have that on Voices of Wrestling.
Well, we have Jumping Bomb Audio.
Yeah, exactly. But what's the Stardom Cast?
No idea about this. Well, what I'm really kind of questioning is Dr. Fisher's Medical Weight Loss and Aesthetic Centers presents Meanie Mania out of McCusker's Tavern, only scheduled to appear the Blue Meanie.
Good Lord.
In case I leave you with this question, did Blood Generation versus Doofixer, they brought us magic. They birthed kind of, I would argue, the modern independent wrestling apparatus. Looking at Dr. Fisher's Medical Weight Loss and Aesthetic Centers present Meanie Mania, the Undisputed Podcast with Bobby Fish, was it all worth it, Case?
No. I'm slightly convinced this weekend is more of a detriment than it is a benefit to wrestling as a whole now.
I mean, I don't know what I would have more of a bad time at, Jeff Hardy in concert after the WrestleCon Super Show.
God.
Or there's two more things. The Undertaker's One Dead Man Show, or Nigel McGuinness's Magical Nights, a WrestleMania weekend special event.
Well, Nigel's the least offensive of those three, and that still sounds terrible. I wouldn't enjoy myself, but I'll take Nigel over the other two easily.
I think he's actually doing magic at this show. Yes, he's doing magic. He's doing it. He's doing card magic at this show.
That's fine. That's better than an Undertaker show.
I did not know that's what Nigel McGuinness was doing.
Yeah, no, that's so much better than the Undertaker being awful at talking. I mean, it's
better than like, Nigel's bad podcast he had.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, buddy, that is a VoiceGate Patreon thing where I have you listen to him talking about no strings attached parenthood.
Yeah, that's right. He was super horny on that, right?
Yeah, like very much so. Talking about ethical non-monogamy, like before anyone else was talking about it.
Woke King Nigel McGuinness. I love it. Yeah, I mean, look, outside of the Dragon Gate stuff, I mean, I'm not. It's a weekend where, again, 2018 was the last time that I was like, it's Mania weekend, baby. Let's go. This is what I'm into. Every year I get some level of FOMO, which I don't experience a lot in life, but every year Mania weekend, I go from like cursing Joey Janela's name under my breath to like, all right, I'll buy Spring Break. Like, let me check it out. Let me check out Bloodsport. Like, I get suckered in every year. This year, at least, I have the Dragon Gate stuff to look forward to, because there's just not a lot else out there. I'm going to pay attention to wherever the CMLL guys are, which might just be that WrestleCon Super Show, and then wherever the Dragon Gate guys go, and that'll be my viewing this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing what all I'm going to be able to catch on my travel back. Like, that's what I'm thinking I'm going to do when I'm traveling back this next weekend. I think it's mainly the Dragon Gate guys. I like a Bloodsport. Like, there's something about that show that I also like. That's usually like Lenny Leonard's mostly retired from commentary, but I know Lenny's always on that show, so I always like hearing Lenny, regardless if I don't really have much interest in Sasha or Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich.
No, but I don't care about that, but Bloodsport's always a fun watch.
Right, yeah, but like outside of that and outside like those shows, it's the Dragon Gate stuff. I'm intrigued by this Dean show, just because yes. It seems like there's a lot of heart between that, and there's the other show that I'm blanking that's put on by the PWI guy about that that's the thing about WrestleMania week and outside of the Dragon Gate guys that I have been more interested in, is the fact that you have these shows like the Dean Rasmussen Memorial Show, the one that it's McIlvania, I think that's what it's called. I don't have the rundown up in front of us, like that kind of stuff, where there's at least a level of heart attached to it. I have a lot more time for that than I do for Wrestling Revolver and House of Glory. Give us whatever show they're going to do Friday. Like there's at least something there.
But yeah, the Dean show is not for me, but I'm glad it's happening. I mean, you know, I don't think you know, the way we exist in this podcast and the way we write about wrestling would exist without Dean. So, you know, credit to the people that pulled that show together. My final question before we go, I can you be perfectly honest with me?
Yes, always.
Will Fuminori Abe versus Takuya Nomura on the Bloodsport show be the single most overhyped match of 2024? With the caveat being that I love those guys and I both think they're great, but what a horrible combination of those two wrestlers on that specific show. People are going to be overly generous to that match if it's even just fine.
Yeah, like that's that. I feel like Astronauts is for a great act, and they are great. I love them.
They're great. Yeah. I'm not knocking them. Knocking the people that like them.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. It is something where like the energy that they have for that, I wish they would have for like going to the polls or like affecting change in their local area. Because it is something where I'm like, really? Like, are we really talking about this tag team that can draw like 400 in Shinkiba? Okay.
And they're great.
Yeah, in ring they're great, but like I'm just, come on guys.
But my friend Mike Spear said, Pokemon go to the polls.
I was thinking about the Chapo Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I must admit I'm not familiar.
I will tell you that joke a second is that we stop. But thanks to everyone for listening. And if this is your first time listening to Open the Voice Gate, we are every week we talk about Dragon System stuff. And then this year is the 25th anniversary of the Dragon System. We're doing a whole lot of content here, a lot like this show, not just talking about modern Dragon Gate, just talking about Dragon Gate and the history of this style of pro wrestling. So be sure to catch us on that. But Case, unless you have anything else, I'm ready to get this WrestleMania week underway and come back to talk to you about the Dragon Gate stuff.
I'm with you.
So you can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. Case is at _ in your case. I'm at Fujiheya. Thanks for listening to Open the Voice Gate. We'll be back with you next time. Take care.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne. In every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.